Welcome to Pioneer Church. We exist to be a gathering of kingdom people with kingdom passions who fulfill Jesus' kingdom purpose. The following message is from our Sunday morning worship gathering. To learn more about Pioneer Church, go online to www.pioneernc.com.
How many of you, my young friends, how many of you thought this day wasn't going to get here? Some of you, yeah, be honest, you're in church, right? Most of us have probably already had a very eventful and fun-filled, fun-filled morning. And again, maybe had to wrestle some kids out of here. How many of you's house looks like a disaster? How many of you would not want somebody to come over for dinner right now? Yeah, ours kind of looks like a tornado hit at about 7 o'clock this morning, man. And we love it, right? But that's a part of Christmas. That's what Christmas is about, the anticipation, the excitement, the eagerness to, man, to tear into those presents. My young brothers and sisters this morning, who wants to share what you got today? One thing. What'd you get? Some of you are wearing it, I can tell. Really? What'd you get?
Fishing pole.
Fishing pole. Man, that's right on, man. I don't know what that is. Okay. Fishing pole, Mrs. Beasley doll. What else? A hoodie. Almost a broken nose. Yeah, a lot of electronics. A lot of things that won't last till May, right? Probably won't last the next week. A lot of batteries. Yes, ma'am.
I got 5 days off.
Praise the Lord. That's pretty good. I told my wife we were able to pay our taxes this year. So I feel like that's a pretty good Christmas present, right? A lot of us have spent a lot of time preparing for this day. Isn't it funny how we take so much time in preparation, and for some of us, anxiety and money to get to these couple few hours on this one day, right? And then it's almost like it's all over. What we've been trying to do at Pioneer Church over the last 5 weeks is kind of try to reclaim a little bit of what the world tries to steal from us this time of year in the hurry and the stress of trying to make this moment today memorable, right? But we all know that stuff doesn't make this day memorable, right? As I said, it'll wear out, batteries die, things break. And what happens is we lose those things, and if that's what our hope is in and what our joy is in, then we have to wait till next Christmas so we can get more, right? Parents, how many of you are saying that? I hope nobody said that already today. Well, just wait till next Christmas, right? If you didn't get it this Christmas, wait till next Christmas. But God has something better for us at Christmas. We've been looking over the past 5 weeks at this anticipation that the world felt in the first century and that you and I still feel 2,000 years later of the promise that God is going to come and rescue us. He's going to save us. And we're on the other side of the cross and the resurrection, but we still are anticipating the return of the King, right? And so we're celebrating Advent this morning just like everyone else in the first century. And one of the things that we've discussed and what we're going to talk about this morning is that God gave us the best gift that we could ever receive. He sent His only Son, called Him to leave the glory of heaven and enter into our brokenness and our sin, to be like us, to feel what we feel, and to wear the weight of our sin and to die for it. That's what we celebrate this morning. And what's so great about it is we know that none of us deserve this gift, right? There's not a one of us that would look at God openly and honestly and say, I deserve the gift of your Son. And that's what makes it so special, and that's what fills us with so much joy and excitement, is that God looked down and gave us His very best. So here's my point this morning. Man, every year we do the same thing for Christmas, right? We decorate our house. This is what happens in the Easter house. We decorate our house. I don't have a lot to do with that. I usually get stuff out of the attic and drag it downstairs. And the boys and Laura, they have at it, man. Laura bakes cookies and we buy gifts and we watch Christmas movies and we do the Advent devotions. We look at Christmas lights. The day finally arrives. We gather. It's a whirlwind. And then all of a sudden, you come to the end of today. Remember that scene from the Christmas story where they're sitting on the couch and everything's just scattered everywhere and they're just kind of exhausted? Many of us are going to feel that way at the end of today. And as we're sitting there and we've eaten all the food we can eat and we've laughed and we've celebrated and we look at what's left. How many of you look at that and you kind of feel sad? Anybody ever feel sad towards the end of Christmas, man? Like all this preparation and then here it is, right? I've thought a lot about that over the last couple of weeks, especially as I've been thinking about today's message. It's almost like the end of a celebration, the end of a party. And for a lot of us, it's this picture of the end of celebrating Jesus, right? Because for the last 5 weeks, we've gotten so in tune and so focused on the Christmas story. But then it's like after all of it's over, it's like we're ready to move on to the next thing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I haven't been to Walmart, but I'm sure the Valentine's candy's already out, right? You give it a few more weeks, the Halloween candy will be out, you know? And that's the kind of the mentality that we have, right? Is, okay, Christmas is over. Let's pack everything up and let's get ready for the next thing. And what's so sad about that is we pack up sometimes the most important thing about Christmas. Some of us are tempted to take Jesus and put him back in the box and put him in the attic until next year. But that's not what God called Christ for, right? So here's a question I want to ask you when it comes to Jesus. What will you do with Jesus tomorrow? As today you celebrate him and he's in the forefront of your mind and you've thought about him, you've hopefully prayed to him today, you're celebrating him. What will happen tomorrow? Will the hope and the joy and the peace and the love that you and I have been focusing on for the past 5 weeks, will it still be present in your heart and in your mind tomorrow? Or will you pack him away, slide him to the side until Easter? Well, we'll celebrate him one more time and then put him back on the shelf until next Christmas. What if I told you that God did not intend for Christmas to be this way? That on December 26th, we put him away until next year. What if we were never meant to go back to normal? Could you imagine 2,000 years ago having your life invaded by an angel of the Lord in the middle of a field? Or in your house, this morning we read about Mary, and we read about the angel coming to Mary, and God said through the angel, God is well pleased with you, Mary. It'd be hard to go back to normal after something like that, wouldn't it? But what about us? How quickly do you and I go back to normal after we celebrate Christmas? So here's the final thing. April, if you'll hit the slide for me. I don't know what I did with my clicker, but we're here. The final Advent focus this morning is this. Christ is the gift of Christmas meant to bring everyday change to my life. It's not just about the season. It's about what Christ came to do forever. You have your Bibles? Go with me to John chapter 1 this morning. John chapter 1 is where we're going to spend most of our time. And I just want to bring a couple of quick points to you before I let you go back and spend the rest of the day with your family. When we read the Christmas story, a lot of times we don't go to the Gospel of John. How many of you have read through John during this Advent season? Some of us may have hit parts of it, but we don't typically think about John as being a Christmas gospel because John doesn't start in Bethlehem, right? Where does John start? John chapter 1. In the beginning, right? You see, in Christmas, we think about the incarnation of Jesus and him coming to earth in the form of a human baby. But if we know anything about the gospel, we know that the gospel started way before Bethlehem, started way before a manger, way before a baby. And so I want to take a few minutes and look at what John has to say about Christ coming into the world. Who is he? What did he come to do, and how should we respond? So John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So the first thing I want you to understand about what John is saying is that the incarnation of Christ was not the beginning for Jesus. I believe most of you know that, right? But Jesus was not a creation of God. Jesus was not just the answer to our worldly problems. The Bible says he was in the beginning with God. Not only that, but he was the agent of creation. God spoke it, Jesus did it. That's the way John puts it. And he was there when the stars were put into the sky. When he told the ocean, you can only come this far and that's it. Jesus was responsible for doing that. And so what that should tell us this morning, what that should get in our mind, is that Jesus is an eternal Savior, not just some seasonal figurehead that we celebrate once a year. He's always been. Next Tuesday, he's going to be the Savior of the world. Next June, he's going to be the Savior of the world. And you and I need to understand that Jesus is not somebody that we just focus on once in a while. We don't just celebrate a certain part of his life here on earth. He is the eternal God. Not only has Christ eternally existed as God, but he's the one responsible for creating everything. Look at verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So not only was Jesus present in the beginning, but Christ is the one who set everything in motion that you and I depend on every day. The air that you breathe, he's responsible for giving you. Just think about that. I mean, an action that we don't normally think about, that we just breathe in and breathe out, Jesus is responsible for every single one of those breaths. And none of them happen unless he ordains it. And he's been doing that since the beginning. Every breath you take. He's the one that took molecules and merged them together to make water that we need to live. He's responsible for creating all of that. And now let me ask you this. If he's that important to our life that we cannot even take our next breath without him, doesn't that change your perspective of him a little bit? I don't just need him to celebrate Christmas. I need him to live. I need him for my next breath because he's the one in charge of it. And so John is laying this out. Nothing that you have, nothing that you need comes apart from him. Man, that's way different than just thinking of Jesus as a baby in a manger, isn't it? Maybe his most crowning achievement is in verse 4. Listen to this. In him was life. Life. Zoe. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we know the creation story. God speaks it into being. Jesus creates it. But then when it comes to you and I, he takes dust and he forms it with his own hands. And then he breathes his life, ruha, into us. And you know what that means? It means soul. He took an eternal part of himself and he put it in you. And Jesus is the one in charge of that. In him was life. You don't have life apart from Jesus. Not just the ability to breathe, but you don't have the internal part of you apart from him. So here's my point this morning. You and I are absolutely inseparable from Christ if we realize it. He's not a holiday. Oh. He's King. He's creator of life. And you cannot have it outside of him. But not only that, it says this life was the light of all men. Let me ask you, I got a cool hat for Christmas from my in-laws. And it's got a flashlight on it. So you push the front of it. Yeah, it's real nice. And then it's got a blinker on it, so I'll never get lost. Someone will always find me, right? Well, yes, that's true. And then we're going to depend on the Holy Spirit, right? But what's the point of a light? What's a light do? Helps you see, right? It takes darkness, and I love this, it drives darkness away. And so Jesus came to as the life giver to drive the darkness away, and he became the light of men. And so when we talk about the light of men, it's talking about direction. Jesus came to set the course of the lives of those who would follow him. Oh, this is so important. You hear me talk about this all the time, that there's only room for one person on the throne of your heart, right? That throne only sits one person, and you and I try to get up on there all the time. And Jesus in his love knocks us off, sometimes in pain and suffering and humility, because only when he's on the throne of our life do we start to walk the way we're supposed to go. And so John tells us that the life that Jesus gives us sets the course for our life. The ideas, the goals, the inventions, the successes, the conquests, the decisions, the purpose of our very life are orchestrated by the giver of our life. So what does this all mean for us? Why does it matter that I remember this today? It's easy for us to think about Jesus this way today. But when we get to a place where we're not hearing about him so much, you know, or Hallmark's not playing all these movies and we've kind of forgotten about this season, we're going to be tempted to turn from the light and go our own way. And so Paul helps us with this in Colossians chapter 1. Listen to this. This is Paul's description of Jesus, and this is going to help us keep Jesus where he's supposed to be. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by Christ, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. I want to stop right there for just a minute. A lot of that sounds familiar to what John just said, right? He's the giver of life. But then he says something here in verse 17. He is before all things, and in him, all things hold together. I need you to understand something about the creator of your life. He doesn't just kind of build something and set it in motion and say, good luck with it. The Bible says that Jesus literally holds your life together. You guys understand that Jesus is involved in 100% of our life. And we don't recognize but maybe 1% of it. When we pray, we thank him for our food, right? At that moment, we acknowledge that he's the giver of our food. But man, what if you're real hungry? Right? How many of you have said the blessing halfway through your meal? My boys have to do that sometimes, right? Oh, I forgot. I said it to myself. That's what I love. I said it to myself. He's still involved in orchestrating that and in control of that, even though we fail to recognize it. He holds it all together. How often do we forget that truth about Jesus? Your life today, right now, is being held together by the good hand of Christ. You guys have heard Louis Giglio talk about laminin in your body. I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but you know, laminin is a protein in your cells, and it's shaped like a cross. And it binds everything together in the cells of your body. And if you don't have laminin in your body, your cells just dissolve. Isn't that a beautiful picture of who holds us together? And so Paul says, listen, he's before all things, and in him all things hold together. But here's why. Here's why we need to know all that. He is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And here's the key, that in everything he might be preeminent. Now, what does that word preeminent mean? Supreme. First. The first of all things. So, here's what that means. You look at your life and all the different categories of your life. You got your home life, your hobbies, your family, your work, all these things. God sent Jesus to be who he was for you, Paul says, so that in all those areas of your life, he might be first. So here's my question this morning. Is that true for your life? Right now on Christmas Day, where we've celebrated the birth of Jesus, he's probably preeminent in your heart right now. But what about tomorrow? Will you wake up on the 26th and when you begin taking down Christmas decorations, will you jump back into work with both feet and Jesus moves aside from that place? What place will Jesus have in your life when the excitement of Christmas settles down? Will he still fill your heart and mind like he does this morning? You see, the purpose of the Christmas story is not to give us this perception of Jesus that only lasts as long as the season does. Christmas is the story of an eternal God entering into his creation to change it forever. Some of you may have experienced that change a long time ago and you haven't been the same. Some of you, though, maybe not. And so I want to finish up this morning by just giving you the purpose that John tells us for Christ's coming. It's in John 1, verse 9. Listen to what it says. Verse 9 says, "The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came into his own, and his own people did not receive him." But listen to verse 12. "But to all who did receive him and believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Like, I want you to pause on that for just a minute. Like, he didn't just give you the option, right? He didn't just present you with the gift. For all of those who believed him and received him, he gave you the right. This morning, you have a right to be called the same thing before God that Jesus is called. Do you get that? You can be a son or a daughter of God because of Christ. He gave you that right. Have you taken advantage of that right this morning? The Bible says that, man, Jesus came into this world, and you know, we think about how humble he was to be born the way he was and to give up his rights and his glory and all that. We think it's nice and noble, you know? That's the part of the Christmas story, the humble baby in a manger. But do we understand what he was coming to do? See, the Bible says that there were many who saw him, and because he came into the world the way he did, they didn't believe him. They didn't receive him. He came into his own people, and his own received him not. So what does that mean? If we put it in today's vernacular, it's just saying they didn't need him. We don't need a baby born in a manger. We don't need anybody from Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? But for those who see him not just as the Christmas story, but as the eternal king, he gives the right to become children of God. My point this morning is Jesus has more for you and I than just a couple celebrations a year. He's given you a citizenship in heaven. And that citizenship should transform your life. So when all the sparkle of Christmas is wore off and all the glitter from the cards have finally been vacuumed up out of your carpet, and the hot weather comes back, and Christmas seems a million miles away, the purpose of Christ should still drive you forward in your life. You exist for him. He saved you for himself. So how do we do this? Just tangibly, I'm going to give you a couple things and we'll be done. I had a video, but it didn't work. So you're getting out here 5 minutes early, it's fine. You have to preach this to yourself. You know what I mean by that? How many of you preach to yourself? How many of you preach the right things to yourself? Be careful about that, right? You see, it's really easy for us to forget. That's why we take communion on a regular basis, because we're called to remember. We're called to remind ourselves of what is true. And so here's what I would encourage you to do this morning. As Christmas kind of fades away in your mind, keep preaching this truth to yourself daily. God loves me so much, he sent his son into the world to die in my place, to be my king. You have to preach that to yourself when it doesn't feel like he's your king. When Satan wants to distract you, remind yourselves of these truths over and over and over. So here's what I want to do. I want to challenge you to do something. I don't know if your Christmas festivities are done for today, or maybe they're just getting started. Here's what I want to challenge you to do. As you gather with your family, as you're sitting together today, dads, I'm going to throw it on you. I want you to say, hey, time out. Let's pause for a minute. Let's put the gadgets down. Let's cut the TV off. Let's talk about something. Here's what I want you to do, family. I want you to go around the room and I want you to name some of the attributes of Christ and what you love about him. His holiness, his kindness, his patience, his righteousness. Dads, your kids need to hear that from you. They need to hear why you love Jesus. Moms, they need to hear it from you. And I want you to go around the room and remind yourself and each other of why Jesus is king. Look, man, we're so blessed to live in the country that we live in and to have the opportunity to eat way more than we should and buy things that don't matter. But let's let all that stuff be second to the treasure of the king who we're celebrating. Not only today, but every day. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this privilege to gather on this day, Lord, to celebrate. God, it is my true conviction that everyone in this room this morning has a desire to worship you and call you Lord. The question is, God, will we continue to do that tomorrow and in the weeks ahead? And Father, I say this not as someone who's got it figured out and not as someone who does this perfectly, but God, as a sheep, just like my brothers and sisters. Sheep that need to be reminded, that need to be directed. And Lord, we know that the only place we can go is to our good shepherd who has a rod and a staff that comforts us, that directs us, that shows us where to go. And so, God, I'm asking that, Lord, you would just instill in our hearts and our minds, Lord, not just today, maybe beginning today, but every day forward as a family in our homes, that, God, we would make the effort, that we would be intentional, Father, about bringing our family back to this recognition and realization of who you are, Jesus. Treasures fade when we don't take them out and look at them. When we don't polish them up in our lives. And so, God, would you help us to continue to see you as the treasure that you are? Would you give us a reality check of how truly valuable you are, Christ, in our life? Would you stir our affections, Father, so that, God, we don't quickly forget the heavy weight of your love for us displayed through Christ. And so, Lord, as we go throughout the rest of our day today, as we join our family in celebration, God, would you just take over the room wherever we are? And would we truly just break forth in joyous worship, just like 2,000 years ago when you revealed yourself to them? So, Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the privilege to worship. And I pray that it would only increase as we leave here this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Well, Merry Christmas to you again. God bless you. I pray that your day is filled with joy and wonder and worship.